T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joining us right now, my good buddy, one of the greats from my old days at SNY, does a tremendous job calling the Big East game, did a great job the other night with the Seton Hall game as they were lucky to win that game against Butler, did a great job calling that. He's a big guy with the boxing, with all the fighting and all of that kind of stuff, and that's my old friend, my good friend, really, B. Cuss, Brian Custer. Brian, how are you, bro?
What's up, Brian?
Hey, JJ and Joe, all the love, bro.
All of it.
I love it.
You can't see me, but I'm giving you a blessing right now,
God
Joe.
Bless. Because knows. He's one of the greats. We go back to the days at SNY. He really is. How you doing, bro? How you feeling?
Let me tell you something. I feel great. I love you, man. And, JJ, for those people who don't know, I love me some Joe Beningo. There's no bigger Jet fan, and there's no better person than Joe Beningo. I love that we got the opportunity to work together. I love you dearly, bro.
Bro, Same here, Brian. No doubt about it. Now, I got to tell you this, okay? Now, when I was a kid, I was a huge boxing guy. Muhammad Ali is one of my guys. I don't know if you knew that. Loved him starting when he beat Sonny Liston the first time in 1964. I was big into Ray Leonard and all of that. Marvin Hagler, Roberto Duran, Tommy Hearns, all of that. Right on through, you know, Mike Tyson, right on, you know, Evander Holyfield, all of that, Lennox Lewis, and then I kind of lost boxing. Well, after I saw the first Wilder, and I didn't even know this fight was going to happen. I got to tell you, I saw it on replay, Wilder Fury, and that fight was, this was Ali Frazier 1. I mean, these guys were pounding each other. This was a tremendous fight. And now that we got this second one coming up, I got to see it. My boxing love has been rekindled with these two guys, Brian.
You know what? You hit it on the head. Listen, there's an old saying in boxing. When the heavyweight division is good, so too is the sport of boxing.
Yes. Yep.
And now you've got some big-time hitters in the heavyweight division. And just like Ali and Frazier, it's this rematch. It's the first time. Even when we did the first fight on Showtime,
it was the
first time in years since Ali and Frazier that you had two unbeaten heavyweights fighting for the title. And just like Ali and Frazier, now they're going to fight again in the rematch. And they're still unbeaten because the first one ended in a draw. And I think that's what adds to the intrigue of this fight.
Well, Brian, I got to be honest. I've now gotten myself into this where I'm all fired up to order it. Maybe it's because I've been spending too much time with Joe this week. But when I have the idea of two guys beating the snot out of each other, I'm fired up by that. Who would you give the edge to as we get ready for this fight? It's evenly matched, no question about it. Do you see one of these fighters at the moment, though, having a particular edge?
Well, here's the crazy thing. I think Tyson Fury fought the fight of his life in the first fight, only because before they fought, you remember, he had all the belts, but he went through drug abuse. He went through depression, and he had a trainer, Ben Davidson, who lived with him for a year and a half.
Mm.
A year and a half, got him down from 400 pounds
That's amazing.
To 260, got his mental health correct, and all of a sudden Tyson Fury goes out there and fights the fight of his life. And yet he still went down twice in that fight and got up. I mean, in that 12th round, when Wilder clipped him with the right hand, the left hook, he arose like Lazarus from the dead, and we were all in shock. Now, the only thing I would say in this rematch that scares me for Tyson Fury, he changed trainers. Why would you change trainers for a fight of this magnitude and go into a new guy with Sugar Hill. Sugar Hill's a good trainer. He's not. He hasn't done what Ben Davidson has done for you. So for me, that's strike one. And then number two, I think if you look at it, that first fight, that was the first time Deontay Wilder had been on pay-per-view. And he fought like it because he swung wildly because he was trying to knock Fury out so hard. He fought like a man that I got to impress. I think this time you're going to see a guy who's going to take his time, use the jab, and I guarantee you this fight will not go the distance like the first fight. I say it won't go late, Wilder in eight.
Wow. You know, look, a couple things here. First of all, his Sugar Hill, the trainer, that's Yancey Durham's grandson or something, right? Isn't he related to Yancey Durham?
He is the nephew of the great Emmanuel Stewart.
Oh, Emmanuel Stewart. That's who it was.
Who passed
right.
away. Certainly, yes.
Emmanuel
so
Stewart.
Emmanuel Stewart, he trained. He's Lennox Lewis. Klitschko.
Right. Yep.
Evander Holyfield. So he had all of them. And his whole thing was, I have heavyweights. You got to knock people out. Well, Tyson Fury is not a knockout artist.
Right.
He is a phenomenal boxer. I don't know if that match is going to gel well for a fight of this magnitude.
Well, I thought the first fight after watching, I thought Wilder won. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I mean, he knocked him down twice. I know Fury hit him too. I mean, Fury was great in that fight, no doubt.
Yep.
But he knocked him down twice. How he got up, like you said, in the 12th round with the shots that Wilder hit him with, and he barely did get up, but how he did was just unbelievable that he got up to finish that fight. And I thought he got hosed Wilder with getting a draw in that fight.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Fury is a phenomenal boxer. And I know a lot of people say, hey, look, I think he will win it. I think if you're Deontay Wilder, there was so much pressure on him because he wanted to impress because it was his first pay-per-view. Now he's been on pay-per-view for a while, so it's no old thing to him. I think he realizes, okay, I'm going to use the jab. And, you know, Deontay will say this, and we've talked this week, and he told me this. He said, here's the thing, Brian. These guys have to be perfect for 36 minutes. I only have to be perfect for 5 seconds, and that's to set up my right hand. Because once I set up that right hand, this guy's going to sleep. And, you know, you got to believe him. I think he learned from that. I just think that Deontay, and if you look at, he's only had two rematches. One against Berman Stiverne, where he dispatched Berman Stiverne in the first round. He hit him so hard.
Right.
He looked like he was doing a yoga pose in between the first ring. And then the other one was against Luis Ortiz, where he knocked him out in the seventh round. The rematches have not gone well for Wilder's opponents. That's why I think Wilder has the advantage.
Mm.
Brian, do you think this is the sort of fight, with Wilder being this sort of guy that has this charisma about him, he's got this heavy hook, that can get a lot of the casual fans back to the sport and get them back in a big way?
Yeah, I think, you know, listen, JJ, I think both of these guys have huge personalities. And, you know, again, I said at the top, you know, when the heavyweight division is good, so is the sport of boxing. And I think Wilder is a guy, he's got great charisma. Here's the thing. He knocks people out.
He's
only had two fights where the guy has not been knocked out, and he's had 40 fights. So that's what people want to see. I think that's what they want. And here's the great thing. Unlike years past, as Joe made a great point, in those when he was into boxing, all of those guys were fighting each other.
Yeah.
Well, we
no
had
doubt
gone
about
through
it.
A period where a number of guys were cherry picking. I'm only going to fight this guy because his style is better.
No doubt.
Now you got guys who say, you know what, I'm all about my legacy. We need to fight each other, and that's what you got. And trust me, I bet you the winner of this fight will now fight Anthony Joshua because now Anthony Joshua needs those guys, where before it was the opposite.
Let me ask you again, we're talking to my good buddy Brian Cust at a great beat. Cust, we get ready for this fight tomorrow night at the MGM Grand Ballroom. Where is it, the Grand Ballroom that this fight is at the MGM Grand? Right?
The MGM Grand, exactly. Right there in the arena. The Grand Garden Arena.
Right. The Grand Garden Arena in Vegas, of course. One thing I'm watching, Fury, this guy's, for a guy like you say, he's 260 pounds, this guy is fast. Oh, my God. I mean, I can't believe how quick this guy is for a guy that's that big, B.
Tyson Fury is one of the best boxers that you will see, and you're certainly right. And here's the thing I love about the heavyweight division. Now these guys are tall. I mean, you've got Wilder, 6'8". You got Fury, 6'8", 6'9". And the way he moves like he's a welterweight. And the way he can move, he can slip. I'm telling you what, if he just stays to that edict and just moves and boxes. Now, he's going to have to put some combinations together because that's probably why he got the draw the first. Now, didn't help that he went down twice, but he's going to have to stay away from that right hand. So that means I can't move to the left. You move to the left, you're moving to his right hand. I got to move more to my right, flip and move, and then I got to put more combinations together. You're going to see Wilder going to be a lot more busier as well. That's why I tell you it's going to be a really, really good fight. But if you're Tyson Fury, and I know he said, hey, look, I'm going to knock this guy out in the second round. You know what? Stay in your lane. Don't be someone you're not. Tyson Fury is not a power puncher, so that would be the wrong move for him come Saturday.
Mm. All right, Brian, let's get to it now because you were turning into Mr. College Basketball.
Well, you really
when
are.
I turn
By
on.
By the way, before you even go, I just want to let's wrap this up with saying so you like Wilder to knock Fury out in the eighth round.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
I do.
I'm
going to
play that, Brian, and when I cash that ticket, I'm going to be thinking of you. Okay?
I love it.
I'll be thinking of you, but all of a sudden now, Brian, I'm watching these college games and I'm a big college basketball fan. You got the unbelievable call the other night with Butler and Seton Hall.
Great
How
game.
Does it feel all of a sudden now? You're one of the voices of the sport, number one, and like the Seton Hall alum and the fan base is like taking you on as one of their own, bro.
Let me tell you something. I love Seton Hall. I love the people of Seton Hall. They've treated me great. It's unbelievable. And I can't even explain it, JJ and Joe. I mean, 4 years now doing their games, they've never lost. They're 26-0 when I've called their game.
Are you serious?
That's insane.
Yes.
Can you start doing? Hey, B Cuz, can you start doing some Jet games? How about that?
No. Pass. Only Dolphin games, B Cuz. I don't want to hear it. Dolphins only.
Joe, but before it was something that we laughed about. It was like ha ha.
Right.
Whenever I got this. Now, 2 weeks ago, I'm at Nova. Jay Wright comes up to me and says,
"Really,
Cuz, is it true that Seton Hall is like 20-something and
wow.
And I said, yeah. He said, you better not have your ass in this building when we play Seton Hall. And, you know, just the other day, the same thing happened to me. Butler, LaValle Jordan said the same thing. He said, Brian, is it true Seton Hall's unbeaten?
That's unbelievable.
He was like, oh, damn. You know, so now even the coaches know about it. But I tell you what, they treated me well. And three of the games have been decided by 3 points or less. It really is. It's unbelievable that when I walk into the building, the Seton High alum, they just go crazy.
How could they not?
It really is. I mean, and I did Georgetown. We were in Georgetown. They were down 20, and they came back and won. I really can't explain it.
And Patrick Ewing get ticked off at you with that or what?
He did. It's loud, like when the coaches, when they see me, if it's Seton Hall, they just shake their head. They don't even want to talk to me.
You know, I got to ask you this, too, with the Seton Hall. One thing I'm a little concerned about watching them, you know, a couple of their losses recently, the Providence game, the Creighton game.
Creighton game.
Well, not even Creighton, but Xavier, when they were behind like 25 points before they even turned around. And then, that's almost an impossible hole to dig out of. They got close against Providence. They cut it to two. They still couldn't get over the hump. I'm a little worried about that going into the NCAA tournament, Brian. That you do that in a tournament, you're not going to survive that.
I think that there's a couple things about that, and I'll give you a true story. I was supposed to do the Creighton game,
really,
and my boss at Fox Sports called me 2 days before the game and said I got to switch you off of it because the night of that game it is Bill Raftery bobblehead night, and
oh,
I gotta
wow.
have Raft
right,
through
right.
that
of course.
Game.
Of course,
and so he—that's why Raftery and those guys did the game that night. And I got hit on social media by so many people from Seton Hall saying this is a conspiracy. Brian should have been doing this game; we would have won. But here's the problem: Miles Pyle said it best. He said, "You know what? After the Villanova win, when we went into Villanova and we won, we really started feeling ourselves." And we just felt like whoever we were going to play, we were going to win. And we didn't have a sense of urgency. And it showed that in both of those games, whether it was Providence, whether it was Creighton, they got down early. They had really bad starts before they all of a sudden picked it up. And I think that's probably why Kevin Willard told them, hey, either A, I'm going to shake up the lineup,
right,
or I'm going
right.
to tighten up my rotation. And Miles Pyle told me this before the game with Butler. He said, we play our best when we feel like we're the underdog and we feel uncomfortable. And I think that's the mindset we have to go, even going forward here, even if we get on another roll, always consider ourselves the underdog and consider ourselves uncomfortable, because that's when we play our best.
Mm. Listen, Brian, the alum, the fan base, they're fired up. I mean, this is the team that's got a chance to win a Big East regular season. Yep. They can do some damage in the NCAA tournament. What kind of ceiling are we looking at? Is this a team that's capable of going to a Final Four?
They are, because they have A, size. They have great point guard play, which is key when you get to the NCAA tournament. You got to have a good point guard. Quincy McKnight is phenomenal. He's one of the best assist men in the Big East.
Yep.
He can control the game, and he can make big shots for you. And that's what you need out of a point guard. And then Miles Powell is a flat-out stud. And you can see now he knows how to play with these guys, whereas he just feels like, okay, I will get big shots when I have to take them. Other than that, I'm going to draw all the attention and dish it off to my teammates and let you guys make shots. And he knows how to play with those guys. He's a great leader. Trust me, I would be surprised if Seton Hall did not make a deep run into the NCAA tournament.
Well, they got to get at least to the Sweet 16. I mean,
it's
major disappointing season if they don't get to the second weekend of the tournament.
I'm with you on that. And I think here's the great thing is that we're talking about Seton Hall. And we're talking about these kind of expectations. It is great for that program. It's the main reason why Kevin Willard, who could have went to Florida State in the offseason, decided to stay, because he knew what kind of program he had.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the Big East in general is very good. I mean, how many teams
brutal.
You think – how many teams are making the tournament out of the Big East in your mind?
I think without a doubt six. You could have seven. It all depends on if Georgetown – can get on some kind of roll. And win at least five of their last six. If they can do that, then I think you would have seven, but definitely six.
Wow.
Brian, Seton Hall aside, who's got the best chance out of any of these Big East teams to find their way to the Final Four? Is it Creighton? To me, they're the team I've seen the last couple weeks. My goodness, they can shoot it. They're athletic. Hey. They're well-coached. I mean, that was my dark horse 2 or 3 weeks ago, Brian, but I think that cat's out of the bag.
Jay, I'm with you. Hey, Greg McDermott has got those guys balling. And whether it's Balik, whether it's Tashawn, those guys can shoot the basketball. And then they've got transfers in there like Mahoney and guys like that who can play and drive the ball. And they got a great post presence too. When you can shoot it from the outside and get easy buckets on the inside, that's a tough team. They've won 8 of their last 9. I would not want to play Creighton at all. I think Creighton is a scary team. And Jay Wright, I mean, it really is. It's a 500 corporation. I mean, every year they're good.
No doubt.
There's a reason why he was the AP coach of the decade. They're good. He just teaches you how to play, and they go at their pace. They're not going to go at your pace. They're going to defend, and they're going to make you guard them. Jay Wright does a great job at developing players. So, to me, I would say Creighton and Villanova are the other two really big dogs in the Big East besides Seton Hall.
Yeah, I would never discount Nova. Now, you're not doing the St. John's game Sunday, right?
I have St. John's, not this Sunday, but I have St. John's against Creighton. I think it's a week from Sunday.
Okay, how about how many more St. Hall games are you doing?
You know what? It's my last Seton Hall game, which they are really disappointed in.
I'd be ticked off. I'd be
furious. Oh, wait. The last one you did was the one they just won, you mean? This game?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And
against
look, people
Butler.
Can hit me on they can hit me on Twitter at @BCusterTV. But if you look at my timeline, it is filled with Seton Hall people saying, A, we want to have him do the rest of our game. And B,
of course.
I see you have kids. We want to give you a free tuition to Seton Hall.
Wow.
I love those people.
Oh, you got
to
like that.
Too.
Oh, man, come on. You're all
college
over that.
Ain't cheap, bro.
You're all over that. Brian, it's always a pleasure, bro. Great. I'm glad you're doing so well. It's great hearing
Thank you.
And I'm pumped up for the fight, and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
Hey, I appreciate it. JJ, let me tell you something. You are working with one of the greats. If that guy was sitting next to me right now, I'd kiss him right now. That's how much I love
Joe Benito.
There you go.
Brian, it's been a blast, and you've been a blast too, so we appreciate it, all right?
Because all the love,
appreciate
bro. Best to you and the family,
all
right?
You too.
All right, man.
There you have it, the great Brian Custer. And Showtime's got unbelievable boxing schedule coming up March 28th, Showtime Boxing Special Edition at Park MGM in Las Vegas. Undefeated Luis Neri, 30-0, 24 knockouts against Darren Alameda in the WBC Super bantamweight title
super
eliminator.
Super bantamweight. See, this is one thing that bothers me about boxing.
Good luck trying to figure that out.
Well, that's one of the things that bothers me a little bit about boxing now. Yeah. Is you had all the, you know, in the old day when I'm growing up, you had the bantamweight, you had the flyweight, you know, you had the lightweight, you had welterweight, you had middleweight, you had light heavyweight, you had heavyweights. Now you got super this, super that. You know what I mean? It's like whatever weight you are, is a weight class.
Make your head spin.
It really is crazy.
Yeah, heavyweight prospect Otto Wallen against Lucas Brown. February 28th, Showbox, the new generation at Sam's. Town Live in Las Vegas. Top Mayweather Promotions prospects Malik Hawkins, Richardson Hitchens, and Kevin Newman. They face tough tests in boxing's ultimate proving ground. And last but not least, Joe, March 13th, Showbox, the new generation. Brandon Lee against Camilla Prieto. So there you have it. Showtime. All sorts of boxing stuff going on.
All over it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.